What was that?
What?
What was that?
An announcement that we got a new member of our Squirrel Hall of Fame.
Play it again. It's our Squirrel Hall of Fame sound?
Squirrel Hall of Fame sound.
Well, who's in our Squirrel Hall of Fame?
Well, we'll get to it in the show. We'll get to it in the show. You're getting ahead of the show, man. Oh. We got gay Latino disco to talk about. We promised everybody we're going to talk about gay Latino disco.
I can't wait for this.
You tuned in to Two Blind Squirrels today. So sit right back and see what Brad and Chaz will say. This show's a lot better than a lot of things today. And here's just to name a few. It's better than your first pair of glasses. It's better than noxious gases. It's better than a blind date's passes. It's better than a mud pack. Squirrels in the morning. Blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's all right.
All right, on this show we will talk about my experience in a gay Latino disco and a new addition to the Squirrel Hall of Fame. Tune in, or if you want to hear those things, which I don't know why you would, but anyway.
Two blind squirrels in the morning, two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all, radio on demand, it's all right.
Now, first off, gay Latino disco is actually almost repetitive. It's almost redundant.
Which part?
The gay disco part. Because really, has any straight man been in a disco since 1978?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some bisexuals, but not straight people. You know what I'm saying? Except me.
Now, when was this? This was recently.
No, many years ago. Probably in the mid-90s, somewhere around 95, 97-ish.
Oh, yeah.
It was in Houston, Texas. Big homosexual community in Houston, Texas.
Surprisingly, yes.
Surprisingly many, yes. It was a port town, so I don't know what that means. That's what they always say. It's a port town. Okay.
I think that explains everything.
Sure. Like I said, you know, why are there such a big Indian community here in Houston? It's a port town. They get off the boat here and just stayed? I mean, they come up everybody from India came into the Gulf of Mexico and it didn't make any sense. So, anyway, I worked with some people there. I worked with a man and a woman. The man was gay and the woman was a lesbian and they lived together. They were like an old married couple. They argued all the time, but they lived in, but they had separate bedrooms and didn't like each other. So, just like an old married couple, I guess. But anyway, her name was Margarita. And his name was, well, we'll get to that in a minute. He was, he was Buddhist. Okay.
He was Buddhist?
He said he was. He was homosexual. He was, he studied jiu-jitsu. And his name was Mishka.
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 What's Mishka? What is that? Does it mean something?
I don't know.
Okay.
And Okay. So we'll just start there. So we did a lot of stuff together. We were all friends. There was a group of us, but who were all friends, and we were always going to do stuff. Well, one weekend, they got the bright idea that they were going to go to this bar. And I was pretty much afraid of nothing at the time. And they said, we're going to go to this bar. Mishka's found this new bar we're going to go to. It's really cool. And, you know, I wasn't looking to pick up women anyway because I was with my wife, you know. So I didn't even think to ask.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bar. They were going to have alcohol there. That's pretty much all I was concerned about at the time. So we drive up to this place. And automatically I'm a little off because it's like, this is a weird part of town. I don't think I've ever been over here. And we drive up in this parking lot, and there's this building, and on the sign it says Latino Disco. Okay?
It actually
says.
That's
the name of the place.
Oh, really?
Yes. On the sign, Latino Disco. And I'm like, and it's not like a high class looking sign either.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's like, you know, it could have said Latino Car Wash, the same sign. Okay? It's, you know, just. So I was like, this is interesting. So we get out and we go in. And you know, I'm with friends, so I'm not thinking, I'm not feeling too, you know, weird or anything. I get in there. And it occurred to me when I walked in that I was in a gay bar. I mean, that hit me right off the bat.
It occurred to you?
It occurred to me.
You didn't?
This is a gay bar. Okay. Well, because, I mean, I walked in and went, beep, 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 beep. Right? You know, my gaydar was just going off like crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And that didn't really surprise me very much. It was a little disconcerting that I'd walked into it without realizing what I was doing. But, you know, for the most part, I'm like, I'm sexually mature. I'm a very confident person. I'm not worried about that kind of thing.
Okay.
I have a wife and I don't have sex. So I'm, you know, pretty much here for the booze and don't care. Right.
Okay.
So we get in and we find a table and everything. And I notice there's some women around and I'm like, and they're not very attractive women either. I'm like, what? I was like, you know, and I figured out that these weren't lesbians. These were women who had come with their gay boyfriends. Okay, just to hang out with their gay boyfriends and drink and have a good time and not to worry about getting hit on.
Oh, okay.
And
I've heard of that.
Yeah. And then I noticed that there were some women in there who were attractive. And that was odd. And all the waitresses were women. But they all had Adam's apples.
What?
Yeah.
That's not natural.
I noticed, I was like, okay. I mean, they were all dressed very provocative, high heels, short skirts, you know, a lot of cleavage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, something not right about this, you know.
Adam's apple.
Yeah, and then I realized, oh, they have Adam's apples. Oh my. Okay, so to get on with the story. Again, I'm sitting over my little table. I'm drinking, you know. And I'll usually dance, you know, when I've had a few. But my wife at the time, okay, she was a big wet blanket. And she liked to go and have fun and dance, but she didn't like for me to dance because she said it embarrassed her. I'm that kind of dancer. I kind of let it all hang out.
You're like a Lane? Remember?
No. I'm not more like a Lane. I'm more like, because Elaine had a very, even though she had a weird kick in the middle of it, she was still very, no.
Structured?
Yeah, I'm more of a, I want to make you laugh at me type of dancer.
Okay.
You know, like, I would let it all hang out.
Are you a clown dancer?
Clown dancer?
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm that kind of dancer.
Yeah, where he's being all stupid and
yeah. Except I don't look that good doing it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So she like, you know, when you're not dancing, you sit there and drink and talk, and I'm gonna dance.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, yeah, well, I'll dance when I have enough to drink, and I'll dance, you know. But there's nobody there to dance with, so I'm probably not gonna dance because she won't dance with me. So anyway. So we're hanging out there. I'm just hanging out, and it kind of got around because Mishka. First of all, that's not his real name. Okay.
Really?
And yeah. I never found out what his real name was, but I knew that wasn't it.
Really?
And then I found out that he's not really Buddhist. I mean, he is Buddhist. He says he's Buddhist, but he doesn't practice being Buddhist. He knows nothing about Buddhism. Okay. He just thinks it's interesting to say.
I'm Lithuanian.
So we're there. Let me tell you a little bit about the Latino disco. This is, like I said, mid-90s. I don't know. It may be changed by now. But Latino gay people are very macho for the most part. There's like two. There's like the feminine, and then there's the really macho ones. Okay?
Macho, macho man.
Yeah, and they've got mustaches, and they're very serious.
I want to be... A macho.
They look like they're about to beat you up all the time.
Mm. Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, sort of like that.
Not that I want to put it in the same category, but you know.
So okay, so we got those people going on. They're wearing the cowboy hats. They're very serious.
Oh yeah,
you know. And then you get the
they're in Houston.
Yeah, and then you get the other. Then you get the feminine, more feminine Latino. What is that noise? Is that your phone?
It's your speakers.
Is that your phone?
No, your speakers are making noise.
No, move your phone. Your phone's over the cord. That's what it was. Okay, so then you get the more feminine Latinos, which were extremely effeminate. Uh-huh. Okay, way effeminate, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you got the ones dressed like women, okay?
Drag.
Yeah. And so you got all these, you got these three elements going on. Well, the ones who were like extremely macho had nothing to do with it. They never said a word to me all night, okay? Which sure. is fine because sure. they're scary anyway. The other ones.
They're scary.
They are. They're a little scary. The other ones would come over and they would. They were flirting with Mishka, and then it would, you know, it would always come up that I was straight. It was like the unique thing to say. And so, so it kind of got around that I was straight, and they would, and so as it got around, you know, they would come over and talk to me, but they would pretty much leave me alone. They just wanted to talk to me. They would just talk to me to see if I was interested in switching teams or something. I don't know. And, I don't know what the point was, but they'd come over and talk to me, and they thought it was fun to come talk to me. Well, Because I was in their bar, but as the night got on and further on, okay, and I got more alcohol in me, and they got more alcohol in them, it was the drag queens that sat closer and closer to me, and would always like reach across me to hand Mishka something or pat him on the shoulder or you know whatever. Wave their hand at him or whatever. They would always bump me in the process.
Yeah.
And then it got to be where they would not just bump me, they put their hand on their back, on my back, and lean over and say something to somebody else or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it got to be where they were just touching me all the time. You know, and then there's this little spot on the back of your arm, right here on your elbow.
No, don't
yeah,
touch
don't touch
me.
That. Yeah, don't touch that because that is an erogenous zone that nobody knows about very much. Okay.
Don't ever touch me there again.
Yeah, so exactly. You feel violated.
Yeah.
So this one's just like rubbing me there. I'm like, hey, that's my skin, man. Don't be rubbing on my skin. You know, that's
yeah.
That's, nobody touches me there. I don't even touch. Don't So so anyway, they got pushier and pushier, and I got more irritated because I was drinking. Mm-hmm. So I got a little more irritated, and they got a little pushier and pushier. Well. So I said, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm gone because this isn't working.
Yeah.
So I tell my wife, and I'm like, okay, you know, I've had enough. I'm out of here. And this is pretty late. I mean, we've been there quite a while.
Yeah.
She's like, okay. So she leaves. Now, normally, Mishka's a slut. Okay. I mean, he has no scruples or anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. But and so normally, you don't even worry about him. He'll just stay and find his own ride home with whoever he decides to find a ride home with. But for some reason, this night, he felt like he didn't want to be left without the car. I don't know. So he decided to come with us. And he was very angry. He was very bitter at the fact that we were leaving without somebody for him to go home with.
Hmm.
So, which is the main point there. And he was all, you know, and all this. And then, and I finally, and he was very belligerent to me. And I said, all right, when we get this car to your house, we're going to find out about how good your judo is. Because you ain't Buddhist and your name ain't Mishka. We're going to find out if you really know judo, you know?
Yeah.
And,
that's funny.
And the rest of the ride home was complete silence, which was fine with me. And, nothing happened. He was like, I'm sorry, dude. I just got a little upset. I'm like, yeah, me too. So don't touch me. Yeah. So and I went home, but that was my experience at a gay Latino disco.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I think what it sounds like what you experienced is a little bit about what women experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
they go to Latino discos all the time.
No. Just in general, let's say that an attractive woman goes to a bar. Since we're keep our stories similar,
uh-huh.
She goes to a bar and she gets hit on by guys.
Yeah,
and let's say that's not her intention. She's just going to go there and maybe she's going to have some drink with her friends and she's going to sit there. But she gets hit on, and the longer that she sits there, the more of an opportunity she has to have people walk up to her and say things. Can I buy you a drink? And hey, baby, mm-hmm. and all this other mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we as men, we don't really get that. I mean, we don't really get approached.
No.
You know, by women. In an aggressive manner,
you know? Not without Adam's apples. No.
So I think that's an interesting twist, and the problem probably with that whole situation, like you said, it was not the fact that they were there and you were there. It was the fact that there was this hotel hook factor.
Oh yeah,
of imposing yourself on someone else.
Sure,
you know that's not cool. You know, cool at all.
Tail hook factor. I like that.
Yeah, you like that? Made it up. Came up with that on the fly.
Oh, you made that up. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get into our Hall of Fame talk here in a second, okay?
Glorious day, y'all. This week I listened to a very interesting devotion. In it, I learned that three of our presidents, two of which were Harding and Carter, have claimed Micah 6:8 as their life verse. This is the verse. He has showed you, old man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your Lord. This is a verse that not only presidents should live by, but look at the words. He, God, has shown us what is good, so what does he require of us? Not anything unattainable, but simply what is moral and right. We are to act justly with others, love mercy, and walk humbly before our mighty Lord. Not a bad way to conduct ourselves. Tienes un día benedicto en Dios, our días. Back to Brad and Chaz, our favorite visually impaired rodents. Glorious day, y'all. This week I listened to a very interesting devotion.
Did you get anything right?
What? You had to turn that thing off. You had to turn that whole loop thing off.
Yeah. That would be good.
You downloaded the update of the software, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I updated this. Don't ever listen. Okay, everybody listen to me. Turn the Windows update off. You don't need it. Unless your machine's broken, don't update it.
And the Firefox thing, turn that off too. Yeah.
Okay, and you don't need that either.
And the Adobe thing?
Turn that off.
Turn that off too.
Anytime it says automatic updates are available, turn off the automatic update. Okay? Because it just messes things up.
Yeah. Well, you know, way back in the day when the blast worm came through and all the computers got messed up, the argument was that if those computers had had their automatic updates turned on,
yes,
that they wouldn't have been affected by the blast worm. Uh-huh. And that's a fine argument, and it makes complete sense and sure.
Okay.
But the problem is now that software, multiple pieces of software on your computer updates like every day, every 3 days.
Sure.
And you get to the point where it's like, There's a new update.
Well, you had a comment earlier about what is a virus. A virus is a piece of software.
Well, yeah, a virus is a piece of software that does something on your computer that's not undesirable. And, you know, and Windows Update has become that.
It has become a virus.
Yes, because the other week, Jill's, she had a Windows Update come along and she had Firefox open. And she said, okay, fine, do the update. And it totally hosed her Firefox. And I thought, well, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just
she lost a post.
Maybe, yeah.
Lost a big long blog post.
Yeah, she lost a big long blog post. Totally messed up her Firefox. All of her bookmarks were gone. All of her extensions were gone. I mean, the whole thing was, you know, and you get that thing the way you like it. So I thought, well, maybe it was just a, you know, random electrons smashing together and it just, you know, who knows what happened.
Right.
But like a day later, I left my computer on overnight, and it did the update overnight.
It hosed yours?
Automatically, and it hosed my Firefox.
Ah!
Yeah, and so I had to figure out how to reload everything from a backup. So,
man.
Yeah. So if it does something undesirable on your system, there was nothing wrong with the system before it updated.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the problem, you know. So,
well, I have portable apps on my flash drive, and I have my Firefox on there. So
portable apps.
Yeah, it's cool.
So you can run.
I can run Firefox and everything from my flash drive.
Oh, really?
So it's not on my computer.
Hmm. So you don't have to install the application on your computer.
Nope.
Huh. So where do you get portable apps?
I don't know. It was from a website.
Just Google it, portable apps?
Yeah, just Google portable apps.
Okay.
I don't know. All right, so let's talk about the Two Blind Squirrel Hall of Fame.
Good night.
That
I hope the level
was loud.
Works that out.
I hope it does too, because that scared me. I think I just wet myself. Hold on, let's try that again. The Two Blind Squirrels Hall of Fame. Still a little loud.
It's a little loud, but it's much more manageable.
I'll turn down over there. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. Now,
taking that away from you.
Okay, Brad Nash again. Me and Brad Nash going round and round on this, okay? He sent me an email saying that that he was deeply troubled that a caller had discredited Tom Selleck as one of the great TV actors. That was Brad T. that called in about that. Just want to throw him under the bus there so that nobody stalks me. So we got Brad Nash mad at Brad T through Brad Mack. Just so that everything's clear, the Brads are having a Brad Fest.
Great.
To have Little Joe Cartwright added to the Two Blind Squirrels Acting Hall of Fame, as it's so called, when Dear Thomas Magnum was denied, was the same as receiving a glove smack to the face. So he is hereby challenged Brad T to a duel at SquirrelCon on 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to. So we're going to have a duel. In fact, I think we're going to open it up for anybody with unsettled issues. Like, can just square off and throw water balloons at each other, like, or something.
Cheese whiz?
Yeah, something. We'll think of something.
Fights or something?
Sure. Something.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, battery acid in a water gun, something. We'll figure it out. But
a tub of molten jello.
Molten jello? It's weird. A tub of molten jello. You're just going to wrestle in there? How are you going to duel with a tub of molten jello?
I don't know, but I think it'd be fun.
Think that through. So anyway, he says, I would like to nominate Chuck Norris as one of the great TV actors.
What?
He only had one hit show, but he's Chuck Norris, dang it.
No, you can't do Chuck Norris.
No.
You can do David Carradine.
What?
You can't do Chuck Norris.
Why not?
David Carradine.
Oh, grab the pebbles from my hand.
Snatch the pebbles from my hand.
Well, I responded to him, and I said that that both Tom Selleck and Chuck Norris are great TV icons, and at least Tom Selleck was a good actor. But to get into this Blind Squirrel Hall of Fame, the rule specifically states in paragraph D, 375, the actor or actress must have 3 hit TV series for consideration in the BSHOF, which is, of course, Blind Squirrel Hall of Fame. So we are not saying that they were not great. They obviously were, but they simply do not qualify. Then he wrote back and said he needed an official ruling. How many TV episodes must an actor in a series star in for it to count as a hit TV series? And this is, he says, very important because he's bored. I said that my ruling was, as for a ruling, the actor must star, not or co-star, be the star or co-star of a series. No guest stars. Okay? So Tom Selleck was a guest star on Friends for several episodes, but that doesn't count because he wasn't a star or a co-star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The TV series must be at least 1 year old and be a hit. And a hit means have high ratings. That's for new shows. For shows no longer airing, they must have been at least on for 3 seasons. Okay? For the success to count as a hit. Bob Newhart, for example, had many hit TV series, but they lasted only 1 year, and only 2 of them were hits. Bob Newhart Show and Newhart. Okay?
It's still the same show.
Okay, he had many memorable roles as guest stars, but they does not qualify, so he doesn't get in. So he responded with a qualifying actor. Are you ready?
Okay.
Let's see here. Where is his response? Okay. He says that I lost that piece. But anyway, the point is that he nominated Heather Locklear, T.J. Hooker, 85 episodes, Dynasty, 134 episodes, Melrose Place, 200 episodes, and Spin City, 59 episodes. Booyah, he says.
T.J. Hooker wasn't really a show.
Dude, it was.
No.
Captain Kirk got in the Hall of Fame was through T.J. Hooker.
Yeah, but I didn't prove that one either.
T.J. Hooker's a show. It was a hit show.
A hit show?
It wasn't a good show.
A hit show?
It wasn't a good show.
Qualify a hit show.
It was successful. It had multiple seasons of running with high ratings. It wasn't a good show. But it was a hit show. Therefore, he qualifies. Just like Brad Nash got Heather Locklear in, which he actually named 4 shows, Spin City, T.J. Hooker, Dynasty, and Melrose Place. I'm not comfortable. Two of these are soap operas.
She was good on Spin City.
Yes, she was good on Spin City. Two of these are soap operas. Melrose Place and Dynasty are both.
Dynasty. She was on Dynasty?
I knew she was on Dynasty. I didn't know she was on Melrose Place. But the point is that you know, those two really are soap operas. They barely count, but she qualifies. So she gets to go into the Two Blind Squirrels Hall of Fame. So we have three.
Seriously, I'm taking that away
from you. We have three honorary members of the Two Blind Squirrel Hall of Fame, and that is Heather Locklear, William Shatner, and Michael Landon.
I think we should put them all in together in a show.
Put them all in a show?
In a show, yeah. They could do, I don't know.
Oh, you mean create an entire TV show just for these three people?
I think, yeah, we could create a show for
an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
We'll call it
Spin Hooker. What's the other?
No, spin Heavenly Hooker.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Highway to Hooker?
Hey, you're getting close to the edge, sir.
What?
Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge.
Hey, you came here with Latino.
Gay disco.
Gay Latino disco.
So.
Now, here's the squirrel that you know has deep spiritual thoughts from off of his ass. It's Jazzy
Jazz Hands. It's right. Jazz Paws.
Well, that's all the time we have for Gay Latino Disco this week. Tune in to Gay Latino Disco tomorrow.
Latingo.
When Chaz will tell us how he got a tie rack.
That's right. No. I'll tell you how you can get a tie rack for free.
All you have to do is date a gay guy. No. Okay, so I don't know what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We'll figure it out between day and tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about Sparky. Sparky. That's spam turkey. Sparky.
Perky?
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
I don't know. Maybe.
Let's do it.
Okay. That's all I got on it.
Okay. So.
My else can be us, everybody.
Two blind squares are gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23. Where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.